Hey, everybody. Welcome to Faith and Good Counsel, a show to uplift and inspire women and our families, where we tell you not our truth, but the truth with the sweetness of the feminine, where we talk about ways to live a virtuous life and all of the things that affect us as women in our vocation and whatever state of life we may find ourselves in. I'm Stacy Galino, host of Faith and Good Counsel, and I'm so very happy to be with all of you today. Thanks for tuning in. I'm hearing from more and more of our listeners, and it just makes me so happy and joyful to have all of you listening and sharing with us what you're liking about the show, what you want to hear. And I'm so glad that you're being edified by our guests and their witness and the different topics that we're addressing. I'm excited about our topic today, which is going to be eating disorders, a very serious topic. And we're going to be speaking with a beautiful young woman, Mara Byrne. She is the founder of madeinhisimage.org, and she has quite a story to tell. If you're a new listener, I want to welcome you to Faith and Good Counsel. I want to encourage you to keep listening and communicate with me. Let me know what you're liking, what you want to hear. I love feedback. I love to hear from listeners. You can contact me at sgulino, that's S-G-U-L-I-N-O, at catholiccommunityradio.org. We've also got a Facebook page. You can go and check us out there, Faith and Good Counsel, and that is on Facebook. And then the CatholicCommunityRadio.org website also has some information as well. I have frequent co-hosts, Mary Wallace and Erin Berryhill Franco. They both have beautiful blogs I'd like to just remind you about as well. We've got the WorkingCatholicMom.com and also the HumbleHandmate.com. You can find out just wonderful information there as well from those beautiful ladies. Hey, listen, stay tuned because I have a blog, stacygalino.com, and on that blog, I'll be posting the show archives from way back when we first started all the way up to the present with show notes, resources, extra information that we weren't able to get to, etc. So stay tuned for that. That's coming soon at stacygalino.com. And as I said, we're going to be talking today with Mara Byrne, founder of Made in His Image, and she is a survivor of abuse and of a very serious eating disorder, anorexia nervosa. So I'm going to look very forward to that, and I know that you'll be moved when you hear the beauty of the recovery and the healing that the Lord has brought this young woman through. I'd like to start off Faith and Good Counsel as we do every time, every episode, with prayer. And I'm going to offer a prayer today to God the Father. God the Father has been particularly powerful in the story of Mara and reforming her image and knowing that she is a daughter of the Most High God. And so let us offer today this prayer to God the Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, my eternal Father, from the fullness of my soul, I adore you. I am deeply grateful that you have made me in your image and likeness, and that you ever hold me in your loving embrace. Direct me to love you with all my heart, with all my soul, and with my whole mind. Direct me to love all your children as I love myself. O, my Father, my soul longs to be united to you and to rest in you forever. Have the Holy Spirit touch my soul so that I may love you as he does and as your beloved Son Jesus does. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I did a little research on saints and eating disorders, and I came up with one of the more obvious saints, Saint Dimphna. We've spoken about her many times on Faith and Good Counsel. She is the patron saint of mental and nervous disorders or problems in general. She can always be counted on to intercede for anyone who is having any kind of an emotional, psychological, psychiatric disorder. And so I definitely want to ask for Saint Dimphna's intercession today. I also found information about St. Margaret of Cortona. Cortona is this beautiful place in Tuscany. It brings up great beauty and peace. When I think of Cortona and St. Margaret there, you can, of course, find out more information about her right out there on the web in one of your search engines. But I want to highlight for a moment St. Maximian Kolbe. Now, I think of St. Maximian Kolbe My goodness, he's the patron saint of so many, many things. He's the patron saint of radio, for example. He was a radio operator during the time of World War II. But interestingly enough, he has a very special place in Mara's heart. He was a Franciscan friar in the time of World War II. And he died in Auschwitz. It's a very famous story. I've actually been to the place where he died. It's a very dark, a very cold, a very sad place, but also a very holy and sacred place where he martyred himself for the benefit of others. He, along with several others, were taken to a place of starvation in Auschwitz, and he actually volunteered to take the place of a man who was selected for starvation, a man who had a family, and he took his place. And while in this very dark, small, rather frightening place, he took care of all of the other people as they one by one died. He ministered to them. He brought the love of Christ, the charity of Christ to them. He was still living at the end of the two-week period that they were testing. The Nazis were testing to see who would die and how long it took them to die. Great torture, great suffering. And he was murdered by the Nazis at the end. I love that he lived. I love that the Lord allowed him to live. He was did not starve to death, but he did endure great suffering from starvation. And I think it relates very deeply to Mara's story and to other people who are suffering from eating disorders, because there is this depersonalization and there is this great suffering that comes from an occupation with food and weight and worth and value. So we're going to learn a little bit more about him as well. And she's got a great blog post, too. June the 8th, 2011, she tells the story of St. Maximilian Kolbe and what he means to her. So we definitely want to ask for the intercession of St. Maximilian Kolbe. And so just a little bit about eating disorders. And today, of course, we're going to focus on anorexia nervosa particularly. But there are, you know, coming out in the new manual, there are three major disorders now: anorexia, bulimia, binge eating disorder, which is a newer category, a little bit concerning for me, but we'll save that for another day. And then this sort of generalized category where you don't fit into any of those criteria, and it's called eating disorders not specified. So, but we're going to focus today on anorexia nervosa. And it has much to do, so much to do with our identity and dignity as a human person that's been distorted or traumatized, otherwise damaged in some way. It's really an outward fruit of this inward struggle as a result of multivariate factors. It's a very serious, very, very serious mental disorder that has profound psychological and physical consequences, up to and including death. It's not just about food and weight in and of themselves, but people begin to use food as a coping mechanism for this pain or to feel more in control in dealing with painful emotions or situations. And of course, it's highly counterproductive, but that is the way that they literally survive. It is extremely difficult to treat. It's very resistant to secular means of, you know, the usual meds and therapy. Patients can be very hostile and very difficult to engage with. I experienced this in my own practice. And the reason is not that they're mean or anything like that. It's simply that they are highly, highly engaged in maintaining, you know, the aspects of this disorder so that they can survive. So they're resistant to treatment. It's kind of like, you know, it's very much about control. And, you know, to let go of control is kind of like a fate worse than death in the hearts and minds of some. It's really, of course, an extreme kind of control, but nonetheless, tremendous suffering in these precious people and in their loved ones. And it just makes my heart ache to hear of the underlying wounds that have led to such a severe expression of pain and suffering. And I know we're going to hear a little bit of that from Mara today, but what we're also going to hear is a lot of hope, great hope, when treatment incorporates the Catholic faith and our understanding of being made in the image and likeness of God and our identities as daughters of the King and so much more. And so I thought I would just go through a few symptoms of anorexia. You may be familiar with some of these. We certainly hear of a lot of celebrities, and it does get a lot of media attention. But You know, again, we can't deconstruct the human person. You'll hear me say that forever. But we do try to capture some commonalities that we may see. There's a preoccupation with food, weight, and body type, an obsessive and persistent fear of gaining weight. There's a refusal to eat or maybe only very tiny portions. And you'll see people engage in food rituals or secretive behaviors to kind of disguise the fact that they're restricting their food. Maybe they're eating alone or in secret. They're really, really crafty and creative in the deception. And remember, they are trying to maintain control. Dehydration. And this is very, very dangerous due to the risk of a heart attack. You may recall Karen Carpenter, a beautiful singer way back in the 70s of the Carpenters, died of heart failure as a result of anorexia. Compulsive exercise, growing of lanugo, which is fine hair on the face and body, a very, very distorted body image. The person doesn't see reality in terms of what their body looks like. And other people, though we say, you look beautiful, you're at a healthy weight, or you're too thin, or what have you, they're not able to see this, and it is a true distortion. There's a grossly abnormal weight loss, unlike with the other eating disorders. You will see a significant weight loss in anorexia. Very cold. They're always cold, very sensitive to cold, changes in the nervous system. Period stop. Amenorrhea develops pretty quickly, and this is a compensatory mechanism, and it may even result in permanent fertility, very possibly. And this just multiple physical deteriorations that occur in the body. And it's very much a slow suicide. It's not intentional, but that is the result. That's the end result. And, you know, again, very, very famous people. You don't have to look very far to find celebrities and others who have died from complications of anorexia. So here's just a few statistics for you, okay? Nearly 50% of people with eating disorders, now this is all of them, meet criteria for depression. And there's also a very high incidence of anxiety disorders as well. And in fact, you could think of, there's many lenses to view eating disorders through, but one of them is it does kind of fit very well into this sort of obsessive compulsive flavor of anxiety very, very well. A lot of lapse in symptoms. Only 1 in 10 people with eating disorders receive treatment, and 35% of those people receive treatment in a specialized facility for eating disorders. So not a whole lot of people receive treatment for this. This is astounding. Up to 24 million people of all ages and genders suffer from an eating disorder in the United States. That's a lot of people. And it has the highest mortality rate of any mental illness, and death is associated with heart failure, organ failure, malnutrition, or suicide. So many more statistics I'd like to share. I know we're coming up to the end of the break here. Causes. There's not one conclusive cause. There are multiple issues involved. Certainly we can have genes that may predispose us, but it's the environmental factors that are heavily involved in actually triggering them. And there are numerous psychological issues that can occur. And what I'm going to do, you know, here's just a few of them. Dependency issues, fear of growing up, inability to separate from family members as would be developmentally expected or appropriate. Perfectionism. You see this very, very inherent in it. And I think radical feminism has played a part as well. A need for control, very poor self-image, and so forth. What I'm going to do, there's so much information that I want to share with you. I'm going to post it up on my blog and also with some really good resources for you as to the different kinds of factors that play in. And treatment, what in the world do we do? What do we do about this? Well, certainly I believe that we need to infuse the richness of the Catholic faith in that. So I'll be posting about that as well. But what I'm really happy about is that we're going to be hearing from Mara Byrne, founder of MadeInHisImage.org. She has walked this journey, and she is going to lead us through this. She is a beautiful young woman. I can't wait to speak with her. So we're going to be back in just a few moments with Faith and Good Counsel.
Macedo Lind is a locally owned group benefits agency and a proud supporter of programming on Catholic Community Radio. Macedo Lind, 866-237-7723, online at info@macedolind.com.
Lord Teach Me to Pray Ignatian prayer groups are beginning soon. Lord Teach Me to Pray is a prayer series based upon the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola. A free training retreat will be held on June 22nd at St. Jude the Apostle Church. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com. In this exciting time of the new evangelization, the best way that we can share the faith is by strengthening our own relationship with the Lord. Lord Teach Me to Pray is sure to be transformative. Register today at LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Berryland Campers serves the Gulf Coast of Louisiana and Mississippi and is a proud supporter of Catholic Community Radio. Berryland Campers, online at berrylandcampers.com. That's berrylandcampers.com.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Faith and Good Counsel with Stacy Galino, your host. And I'm so delighted to welcome to the show Maura Byrne. She is the founder of MadeInHisImage.org. That is also the name of her website, as well as this beautiful initiative that she has that we're going to be talking about today, of a Catholic inpatient treatment facility, I believe the first of its kind in the United States, directed towards eating disorders. Welcome, Maura.
Hi, Stacy. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. Such a godsend, I believe, to have you with us. I've been following your work and looking at your blog and just really, really touched, really, really touched at your story, very, very touched at your ministry. And I know you're going to be new to our listeners here. I don't think, from what I understand, no one has heard of Maura Byrne, but we're going to change that today. And I just thought it would be a really nice place to start if you could just tell us your story. I have mentioned that you are a survivor of an eating disorder, and some of the background there. But if you wouldn't mind, just kind of tell us who Maura is and give us an insight into your journey.
Sure, I'd love to. And again, thank you so much for having me. I am 27 years old. I grew up in northern New Jersey. I had a very somewhat traumatic upbringing. There was a lot of abuse in where I was raised and what I experienced. And this produced a great sense of lack of self-esteem. And I've always been an athletic person. I've started running when I was 5 years old. And when I was in eighth grade, I just really struggled with my identity and just always, asking myself, like, who am I? Why am I here? What's my purpose in life? Being raised in a Catholic home, but, just suffering from a lot of abuse, and just questioning God's presence and how, I could go to Mass on Sunday, but all these horrible things were happening to me, just really struggling with who God really is and what my purpose is. And, in eighth grade, I was just warmed up for field hockey practice, and I overheard these two girls, and they were talking about someone in my class who was, on the heavier side. And me, always being athletic, I was one of the thinnest girls in the class. Weight was just never something that I had to worry about. I just internalized what these girls were saying and the harsh comments that they were making about her. And, I looked in the mirror at night and I thought that if I was going to be considered beautiful, if I was going to be enough, then I had to lose weight. And even though, it wasn't something that I needed to lose, I really internalized the gossip that I heard from these girls. And I just came home from school that day and decided that there was a specific number that I wanted to reach on the scale, and I wasn't going to stop until I reached that number. And I got incredibly sick with an eating disorder. And it really took a toll, on my body.
You mean physically sick, physically ill? Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Yes. Can you give us, kind of tell us about that a little bit?
Well, I had to stop. I just stopped. You know, I was an Irish dancer. I was a swimmer. Everything. I couldn't do any type of physical exercise. My pulse was in the high 20s. Your pulse is supposed to be between 60 and 100. Mm-hmm. My fingernails were always purple. I had, fine hair growing all over my body. Mm-hmm. My hair was falling out. Just very, 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 very sick. Very, very thin. Mm-hmm. In my lowest weight, I was close to 40 pounds, 38 pounds lighter than I am today.
Wow.
It's really a miracle that I'm alive.
Yes. What were your parents? Were they concerned? Was anyone saying to you, Mara, what's going on, sweetheart? You know, you're awfully thin, darling. Was anybody concerned or expressing concern to you?
They were. And to someone who has an eating disorder, mm-hmm. Those type of comments actually egg the person on.
Right.
Because I had such low self-esteem. Mm-hmm. I was just really craving love, attention, mm-hmm. and affirmation. As all human beings are, but I especially think, little girls, they need that type of affection and love. And that was something that I never got. And I looked for it in all the wrong places. And I think it definitely just exploded with my eating disorder. Mm-hmm. So when people would say, to my mom, oh my gosh, what's wrong with Mara? Like she looks really thin, really sick. It almost was like, okay, this is good. Like I'm doing a good job. Mm-hmm. It did get to the point where, it was like, okay, Mara, you have to, put this weight back on or, there's going to be some drastic, changes. You're going to have to go to the hospital, things mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. I was never hospitalized. I think back when I had an eating disorder, that was in eighth grade. So it was over, 10 years ago. It was a little different than it is now. I definitely, my mom, she didn't understand. She didn't know, just to someone who's never struggled with food or those types of things, you're just like, wait, why wouldn't Mara want to eat ice cream? Like, mm-hmm. It's not that she's a bad mom. She just didn't understand.
Right.
And that's why I think it's so important to raise awareness, just because so many people don't understand what goes through someone's mind who has an eating disorder.
Right.
But what really, continuing on with my story, I just really came to a head one night, and I really felt like my heart was being really damaged, physically and emotionally. And one night I just remember laying on this bed, and I could literally hear my heart just struggling to beat, and I was so scared that it was going to stop. I really was. And I just remember just reaching for my rosary beads. I really struggled with God. I really thought, because of the abuse, that he hated me, and that if he loved me, the abuse would stop. So there was this love-hate relationship that I had with God. But at that moment, I knew that I couldn't do anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I needed someone to help me. And I just remember reaching out and just crying out to God, asking him to please help me, because I wanted to get better.
Mm-hmm.
It was a real, real turning point in my life. Just coming back from an eating disorder is very difficult. And if anyone has had an eating disorder or knows someone who has had an eating disorder, you know what I mean? It's literally training your mind, to re-eat, to rethink and re-eat. And I explain it to a lot of people, like feeding a baby. Like, that's literally sometimes what I felt like. I would be sat down and, I had a handful of Cheerios on my plate, and I had to eat them. And, that's what, something you would feed a baby. And I was scared to put a fork or a spoon in my mouth. So I actually just used my fingers, just like, a small child.
Mm-hmm.
That was my life for, just for the next couple of years, just learning how to recognize my hunger cues and getting my body accustomed to eating again. But a great part of my recovery and healing really came when I was in college. I found Focus, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, came.
Mm-hmm.
They came to our campus. I went to Seton Hall University in New Jersey, ran Division I cross country there. And being a student athlete, you know, being thrown back into that, the high pressure of running. I've always loved to run. And, you know, I just, it was hard to be put back in that kind of a competitive setting where you're always surrounded with other girls that, you know, are faster, maybe thinner than you, and you're always having your weight checked and your BMI taken. And mm-hmm. I just really got consumed with, you know, the pressures of the team and the world. And then someone I was dating at the time told me about his addiction to pornography. Mm-hmm. And again, I looked in the mirror and all I thought that I was ugly, that I wasn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, I just started spiraling downhill and started binge eating. So I would literally not eat all day, binge eat at night. And it was like a cycle where I'd get up the next morning and be like, okay, I don't want to do this again. And I want to get out of this. And it was just, it really is like an addiction. It's a food addiction. And
sure.
It's very, very draining. And I really found tremendous healing through Focus, through going to daily mass, going to adoration, going to counseling. I went on a Focus mission trip to Calcutta, India, which really drastically changed my life, where I heard about God the Father's love for one of the first time. And just hearing about the love of the Father was, you know, it just radically changed my life. I had no idea that God was our Father and that He loved us.
Yeah, because you had such a distorted image of God the Father based in your history of abuse and all of these years of this distorted thinking. And even though you're longing for it, you're literally dying for it, you're thirsting for it, you're seeking Him. This distortion prevents you from receiving the very love that He has there to offer you, would you say?
Absolutely. I had no conception of love, like genuine love. You know, I thought when someone did something nice for me, they wanted something in return. You know, I was always looking over my shoulder, almost like walking on eggshells. And I just, when the missionary's name was Eric Clark, he's now a deacon, and he, you know, he gave this beautiful talk about God as our Father, and he talked about Him as merciful and loving and gentle and understanding. And I just remember breaking down because these words were so foreign to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went up to him after, and I just asked him, I said, you know, in tears, like, Eric, I want to know God the way you know Him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I knew by the way he spoke that he must have, you know, a relationship with God. And he talked to me for quite a while, and he told me that, you know, where we find God is in the sacraments, in confession and adoration and going to mass, receiving the Eucharist. And he talked to me a lot about free will.
Mm-hmm.
That was something that I really struggled with, how just because, you know, I had been abused or had witnessed things that, you know, no child should ever have to see.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't mean that God didn't love me. It meant that the people who had performed these evil actions had turned away, you know, had fallen from grace, and they had made the decision with their free will to choose evil instead of choosing God, choosing truth and beauty. And how when someone does that, that doesn't mean that God doesn't love us. So just learning about this, learning about my identity and who I am as a daughter of God and what that really means, and how God sees me as beautiful, as enough.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me, he said, Nora, just go before adoration and ask God to show you your worth, your dignity. And I did. And he, you know, all the glory to God, he, you know, his grace just came down and he showed me his love and his mercy and his healing in ways that I can't even describe. After that,
we're actually coming up to a break, and I was just commenting on how beautifully and powerfully you're speaking about what assaults, what trauma can do to our identity as daughters of the Most High God. And I just really have this sense that the Lord has had his hand upon you all this time to lead you to a greater purpose. And when we come back, I want to talk with you about the great hope that we have within the Catholic faith, and in particular, the treatment that you received with a Catholic therapist, and how that can offer and provide some great hope for those who may be suffering. And again, we're talking with Maura Byrne, founder of MadeInHisImage.org. You're listening to Faith and Good Counsel with Stacey Galino, and we will be back in just a few moments.
Citizens Bank and Trust is a proud supporter of Catholic Community Radio. Citizens Bank and Trust, online at citizensbankandtrust.com. That's citizensbankandtrust.com.
Hi, this is Coach Alan Taylor, founder of St. Michael's Family Fitness. We're proud to support the mission of Catholic Community Radio. St. Michael's Family Fitness, strength to serve. 225-241-9332.
Doctors James Hebert and Jacob Henderson of Central Dental Care would like to thank Catholic Community Radio for fighting tooth decay in Central and the Baton Rouge areas. Central Dental Care, 261-6645 or centraldentalcare.com.
Catholic Community Radio.
Well, I think it's filling a need. I think people are hungry for the truth, and I think the more professional we can sound and compete with the others in the marketplace, the more people are going to draw in.
Catholic Radio for your community.
And that's why the Holy Father, he just mentioned the importance of Catholics knowing how to work in the media and knowing how to use the media wisely and to use it well.
This is your station.
The Church has, for decades, especially since Inter Mirifica with Vatican II, has been on the front lines engaging the culture and understanding that the media are so important. And so I am amazed at the response we get, just because it's just so humbling to be on the receiving end of the comments and how people have grown and what they've learned. And it's a phenomenal part of the new evangelization.
Call with your donation at 448-3754 or online at brcatholicradio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Faith and Good Counsel with Stacey Galino, here with my beautiful guest, Maura Byrne, a daughter of the Most High God. And she's been sharing a powerful, powerful testimony, her journey through a life of abuse that led to a severe and debilitating eating disorder, anorexia, and then later accompanied by binge eating. A lot of suffering you've been sharing with us, Maura. But one of the things that I'm very hopeful about, and I want to let our listeners know about, you've begun to tell us how your healing began through the beauties and richness of the Catholic faith, but you actually received therapy with a Catholic therapist. Is that correct?
So I went to counseling, in high school and part of college for my eating disorder. And while I had, put the weight back on that the doctors wanted me to put back on and things like that, there was so much with the trauma, with the abuse that I had never told anyone about. And after college, I worked for Focus. I worked as a year as a missionary. And my time there was very challenging because so many girls had struggled the way I had struggled. And I had never told anyone, just about the abuse that I just carried on my shoulders, so much of the pain and the shame of it. And Focus actually paid for me to go to IPS, the Institute of the Psychological Sciences in Arlington, Virginia.
Yes.
I thank them so much. It was a life-saving gift. So what I did at IPS, I went through 2 intense days of testing, because I really struggled with horrible nightmares and flashbacks.
PTSD.
Yes, and I didn't know like what it was. I just knew that something was wrong. So yes. After I, you know, went through all the psychological testing, I was diagnosed with chronic PTSD, and the doctors at IPS, they recommended that I go to 2 years trauma therapy.
Mm-hmm. 2 years.
And I, you know, just like so many people in society, you know, in America and in the world, you know, I was just in Belize with Native Image, and the girls there have such a stigma of therapy, just the mm-hmm. same way the girls here do in America. Mm-hmm. You know, I was just like that, just being like, you know, therapy, just not for me. Like, thank you very much. Can I just get out of here?
Right. And I've been on the receiving end of that hostility.
Yeah.
You don't want to, you don't want the influence. You don't want to get, you want to get better, but yeah. you don't want to participate. It's very difficult to treat, as I mentioned in the first segment, very difficult to treat. And as you already know, because you're on the other end of that, certainly. So keep going. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
Oh, no, you're fine. And so they recommended that I leave New Jersey. This mm-hmm. course of where so much trauma had happened, and they put together this care packet for me, and they recommended 2 years of therapy. And, you know, just like, I felt so lost, and I did not want to go to therapy for 2 years.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to tell anyone all that had happened. I felt so, ashamed, even mm-hmm. though, you know, obviously when someone is a victim of abuse, it's not their fault.
Right.
So they helped me find a Catholic doctor, Dr. William Blett in Nashville, Tennessee. And I, you know, was just so skeptical, you know, just like so many other people. And A, he was a man, so I was like, I didn't
right.
have a very good view of men. And
what opened your heart? What gave you the
crazy?
What gave you the courage to open your heart to him?
You know, I was praying all along. You know, I was going to daily mass, going to adoration, and you know, I was just praying, and God's just like, Mara, I want to give you a gift, you know, just like I gave you India. Mm-hmm. I want you to trust me. And it was so hard for me to trust God. But you know, God's grace is amazing. And I took the leap of faith. I packed everything I owned into my little Honda Accord, and I moved to Nashville, Tennessee.
Wow. And you did the 2 years of trauma therapy. And what was that like? What's the difference between the more secular model versus what Dr. is it Blatt did with you? How did that work? This Catholic infused therapy.
So this doctor, he really challenged me. He challenged me in so many ways that I think a secular therapist doesn't approach, and especially with, you know, teaching me more about God's love and forgiveness and free mm-hmm. will. And he really challenged me to forgive those who had hurt me. And I remember I had been through about a year and a half of therapy, and, you know, I talked to him about so many things that had happened, so many things that I had never shared with anyone. And I remember him looking at me just being like, Mara, your last, like, push here that I want you to make, you know, in therapy is forgiveness, because
that's
you
so
carry
hard.
Around.
It's so hard. And we can't do it alone. Would you agree with that statement?
No, we can't.
How did you do it, Mara?
Yeah. God's grace and the power of the rosary.
Amen.
I remember him telling me that I was never going to just let it go. Like, I had to let it go. And I carried this weight around. And he said, you know, Even the men and women who had hurt me in my life, excuse me, they deserve God's mercy, God's love.
Yes.
And excuse me, when I thought about, you know, some of the things that they had done to me, I just broke down and thought, mm-hmm. how could they possibly deserve love? Right. And then I went before the Blessed Sacrament, and I knew that was my calling. That is our calling as Christians, to forgive those who have hurt us,
right.
to be in our suffering, to embrace our cross. And the power and the beauty of the rosary really, you know, God's grace just really flooded my heart and helped me to forgive them, and just to truly let it go. And I'm not going to sit here and say that it's like, once you say you forgive someone, it's, you know, it's all perfect. It's because it's not. And every day I get up Did I make that choice
that's
to forgive?
Right.
Because, you know, that's just our, that's our call, and that's where our sanctification lies every day, to get up, to make a morning offering, to, you know, to offer the day to God, to offer our struggles. And that's something that I know that I need to always do, you know, till the day I die.
Yes.
I'm going to get up every day, and I'm going to make the choice to choose forgiveness, to get out of myself and to love others, hopefully the way you show them God's love.
And that's not a secular mindset, a secular viewpoint. And certainly, you know, the definition of the human person in secular terms is not the same as within our Catholic anthropology. And I think as I'm listening to you and as I'm reading your blog, I'm understanding how deeply your identity was injured and how beautifully the Lord is restoring and has restored and will restore and continue to restore Maura so that you can continue to serve him so, so beautifully. And one of the ways that you are serving him is you're taking the beauty of what he's done in your life and you're sharing that with the world through an initiative. I'm not sure what to call it, but to me it's an initiative, a ministry that you're calling Made in His Image. And as I understand it, it's your dream to establish the first Catholic inpatient facility with treatment directed towards eating disorders. Is that about right? Or you tell me what your dream is.
Yes, Made in His Image is a nonprofit organization. I launched it in September of 2011, and we are growing. We are. It's really beautiful to see. I just got back from Belize. So we have first international mission in Belize. What I want to do with Made in His Image is to inspire other women to choose to see beauty in their suffering, to unite us, you know, with our stories, and to help other women really turn from a victim to a survivor, the way my doctor helped me. And one thing that I think is very, very important is where these women receive treatment.
It's very important.
There are so many centers. Yes, there are so many centers around the United States that just don't, you know, like you said, are so secular. And I firmly believe that a woman, a girl, no healing is possible without the love of God, without His mercy, without knowing, you know, you could say, oh, I'm recovered from the eating disorder. But, you know, the truth is something traumatic happens, something triggers you. You're going to fall back into that.
Right.
You're going to fall back into those tendencies. And unless a woman really learns about who she is, like, why is she here? What's her purpose? Where is she going? What can she do with her suffering to help others? There's just no meeting. And that's what Made in His Image wants to do. We want to build the first Catholic medical center in the world for women to go to recover from eating disorders, as well as, you know, outpatient therapy for abuse and self-harm, you know, and other things like that. But I'm very excited. I know we need millions of dollars for that to happen, but I'm just trusting and praying, and I know, you know, one day I could wake up and, you know, have a check for $10 million. Like, I firmly believe that when God wants it to happen, he'll give me the resources.
That's
so right.
Right
now, I'm trying to grow this nonprofit. I travel the world to talk to middle school, high school, and college age students, parents, to raise awareness for things like abuse and eating disorders, to educate them about God the Father's love, talk about forgiveness. And it's an amazing, amazing ride. I'm so humbled and blessed. All the glory to God for what He's done. And I hope in some minuscule way I can give back for all that God has given to me.
Amen. Well, you know, I'm just listening to you and my heart is just overflowing. It's just, I hear the joy. I heard the joy in your voice actually radiate as you began to speak about Made in His Image and these plans and these dreams. And you're speaking to the fact that we do have to wait, you know, persevere in patience and prayer and pondering. And, you know, when the Lord is ready, I truly believe this is anointed work, and that your suffering is not for naught, and that He has preserved you.
No.
and placed you in this place so that you can be a light to others who are suffering, suffering in this way. I want to ask, in our last few minutes here, I know you have some writing. You certainly do beautiful writing on your blog, but is there a memoir or something that might be coming up that people could read maybe a little bit more about your story?
Yes, I did write a manuscript about a year and a half ago, and there were a couple complications with getting that published, but I am actually revising one of the drafts this summer, and I can't wait for it to be out. So the name of my book is called, or upcoming, is called Choosing to See Beauty. It's something that my doctor really inspired me. You know, he once said to me, he said, everyone suffers, Maura, but what we do with that suffering will set us apart.
Amen.
And so I, with God's grace, every day I get up and I want to make that choice to choose to see beauty in my cross, to choose to see beauty in those who have hurt me, that they are sons and daughters of God. So, yes, I am actively working on that. It's a full-time job to
yeah.
my ministry mission.
You're a busy
right
girl.
Alongside, yeah.
Busy girl.
So I am working on that. So I hope everyone definitely keep your eyes peeled
Amen.
For that.
Amen.
I'm excited.
And Maura, we can get in touch with you at madeinhisimage.org. Is that correct? And
that is correct.
Yes.
Yeah. Check us out on our website. We have links to our Facebook and Twitter. We are, yeah, we're all over the social media. So that's just trying to reach girls where they're at. And
Amen.
I know so many girls who follow Made in His Image are on their social media. So we're trying to reach them where they're at and offer Amen. Them hope, encouragement, love, and just the truth, because there's so much garbage out there on the internet. And, you know, these girls
yes.
log into Facebook and they see all these, you know, counterfeit lives, really.
Right.
And just what the world offers for love. And we just want to be truth. Like, we want to give them truth and beauty.
Amen.
And that's where it's at.
Amen, girl. Well, God bless you and your work. You have my prayers. I think I'll be donating a little money to Made in His Image. And I want to invite you to come back again to Faith and Good Counsel. I know there's so much we could speak about, but God bless you, Maura, and protect you
Thank
and
your
ministry. And we'll be talking with you
Thank
soon, I'm sure. You know, there's a beautiful quote from Maura on her website. It's, I am alive today because of God, and until the day I die, I will never cease to praise His name. He is the Almighty Healer, and His grace is an ocean of mercy. That is from Maura Byrne, blog post June 8th, 2011. We've been speaking with her today about her journey through abuse and eating disorders. Madeinhisimage.org. Go and check her out. She's absolutely gorgeous, and she has so much to teach us about the love of God the Father and our identity as daughters of the Most High God. This is Faith and Good Counsel. I'm so glad you joined me today. I hope you'll keep listening, and we'll see you next time again here. Stacy Galino, Faith and Good Counsel. Bye-bye.
Just as the Father who has life sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so the man who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and died nonetheless, the man who feeds on this bread shall live forever.
Scripture Highlights, brought to you by Greg A. Kennedy, CPA, 225-292-5112.
Prayer before the crucifix. Dear good and gentle Jesus, I come before you, asking you most earnestly to engrave upon my heart a deep and lively faith, hope, and charity, true repentance for my sins, and a firm resolve to make amends. Help me to reflect upon your 5 most precious wounds of crucifixion and contemplate them with great love and tender pity. Permit me never to be separated from you, and defend me from all that is